Stoudemire.
Andy, whoa, whoa, looks a scream. Have him on my whoa, whoa, whoa. Andy, whoa, whoa, silver scream. Can't tell them apart at all. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Good morning. My name is Ava Lake, and you're listening to Art Focus today. It was only a week ago that I was here with M.K. Guth. I was interviewing M.K. Guth. And at the end of the interview, as usual, I announce who my next guest is going to be, my next guest. And I said it was going to be Terry Todemeyer. And then, you know, within about a half an hour when I got home, I realized that this was not to be, that Terry had passed away the evening before. He was in Hood River, and he was doing a book signing with Jim Larson with John Larson, excuse me, a book signing of Wild Beauty, which is a book that they recently put together that's in conjunction with an exhibition at the Portland Art Museum. And so KBOO kind of got it together to instead have a remembrance today and a tribute to Terry. And so I have three guests with me today. I have John Larson, who collaborated with that book. I have Prudence Roberts, his widow, and a fellow curator, someone he worked with at the Portland Art Museum. And I have with me also Jane Beebe of PDX Contemporary Art, who was his dealer. And so what we're going to do is just talk a little bit about his work today, about his life as an artist, as a curator, as an author as well. And I think what I'd like to do is just start with the work as a photographer, start with him as an artist. I guess I'd like to ask you first, Jane, just like how you met him, how you began to work with him, and, you know, like why his photographs, what did they mean to you, and how that whole process began of you working with him?
You know, I actually don't know. I feel like I've always known Terry, and I don't know when we first met, but we had love of the outdoors in common as well as of art. And when he came to me about representing him, I said, Terry, you can't believe how ignorant I am about the technical aspects of photography. And he said, that's okay. You know art. But I'd say his photographs are outstanding and unique, and it comes from the intensity and the deep place of knowledge and feeling that he had for the places he was photographing. And so I sincerely believe that another person could take a photograph of the same place, mm-hmm. and they would not come out with the magic that Terry came, you know, produced. And he was just a joy to represent. He was so, so appreciative. And we were all talking at the gallery how much we're going to miss this, you know, wonderful man coming in and telling us that he loved us and we did such a great job. And, you know, and he was so sweet that way. But the edge of chaos, that is where in a theory of counter theory of resolution, of evolution, and that is where this intense creativity happens. And I thought, that's a perfect description of Terry, of gathering in all this vast array of information, knowledge, historic, human, natural, everything. And then on that edge of chaos would come out this unbelievably intense, beautiful creativity.
So what kind of, maybe we can just talk a little bit about the photographs.
Yes.
So, you know, like what did you initially show, and also how did it evolve?
Well, his silver gelatins, and and I think they would be landscapes, and there was one that was mostly sea caves, one show that was mostly sea caves. And I think the Lost Boy Cave is one of his best known, most popular images. Mm-hmm. And recently we've shown digital. He's taking the photographs with a traditional camera, mm-hmm. but then they're digitized, and but they're not manipulated. So I mean, it's still very much his imagery.
Right.
So there's, and they're on a archival paper with pigments, and they're so they're very saturated, beautiful. They are different than the silver gelatin.
Interesting. Okay, well, so, but how are they? I mean, that's sort of an interesting thing because, okay, he came from a pretty, I don't know, traditional background maybe in his shooting and his developing and all that. How was that process, that transition for him? I mean, this is something that any of you would know about.
Well, I think as the papers that he loved to work with sort of started to go south, I mean, you know, things like Portriga and those wonderful tonalities, he realized sort of that he had to make the shift, but he still wanted the negative as that kind of physical artifact. And when he found Phil Bard, who has Cirrus Digital Imaging, I think he was a reluctant convert, but once Phil started showing him how the negative could be explored through scanning and through digitization, he was really excited about it because he was doing a lot of aerial work, and you know, aerial work, it's sort of impossible not to get a lot of gunk on the film. And when Terry was printing in the darkroom, he would have to spend hours, you know,
touching up.
Right. Uh-huh. And you can do that obviously in Photoshop a whole lot more efficiently. So, and he loved the chance to kind of explore tonalities and things, the sort of things that he would do when he was printing. And he was, by the way, the most amazing printer. I mean, he was fastidious to the nth degree. I just talked to a friend of his who said he has a print of Terry's above his door. He's a photographer, and he says every day when he goes out to make photographs, he looks at that print and says, well, if it isn't that sharp, it's no good.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I'm kind of curious, just kind of sort of keeping with his dealer's viewpoint or what have you. Mm-hmm. So maybe was he the first photographer you showed? And also, I'm curious, like, how did he then affect your choices and how you might deal with photography afterwards? I mean, did he influence how you curated?
He absolutely was the first photographer.
Okay.
And I don't choose by medium. It's
all right.
By the artist's work, and to my eye, are they successful in their field of whether a painter or
right?
And clearly, Terry was very successful.
So it was basically on the level, but it didn't necessarily affect like how you looked at photographs from that.
Oh, sure, I've learned so much from him because, as I said, I knew nothing. I was unbelievably ignorant and still am. But and also when I go see places, you know, when I'd be hiking or something, I'd always think, oh, I wish Terry was right here because he would be able to tell me so much about this place. Mm-hmm. And so it was both the literal place and the image of it. But artistically, when you look at one of his photographs, I feel it comes across that he is exceptional.
Mm-hmm. One thing I was just thinking about, Prudence, when you were talking about his printing and all of that. Mm-hmm. Okay, now he taught here for years, no?
Yeah, he taught at PNCA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But was he doing that recently, or was it like?
I think he left PNCA about the time that the school moved away from the museum, was starting to. I think that's right.
And was he more about capturing the negative, or also did he, like, follow, you know, with the class, did he follow through into the printing and all
those kinds of things? Oh, yeah, absolutely. He taught both history of photography and you know, darkroom photography.
Mm-hmm.
And spent, apparently, a lot of time when the weather was interesting, he would often cancel class and go to the gorge.
And he championed other photographers.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
He was really outstanding at that.
That's something I really want to say, and that is that he was a collaborator in
every sense of
every sense of the word. He hated competition, and he loved collaboration and encouraging other people to, I mean, he didn't want to have sole ownership of ideas.
Well, okay. One thing I wanted to just get into though, while we're still just talking about him as an artist, geology. All right. From what I understand, he had a degree in geology. Is that how
he graduated? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
From Yeah, Oregon. Yeah.
And he loved geology and photography both. So
it was a marriage.
It was a wonderful merger for him of photographing geological forms, mm-hmm. photographing basalt.
I think sometimes people who heard, you know, when he showed up to do a talk about his own work, people were somewhat bemused by the fact that they were hearing a geology lecture instead of an artist lecture.
Did he have a connection with the geology community?
He did.
I mean,
a very strong one.
Yeah,
a very strong one.
So he was out with those people and maybe documenting their stuff or talking with them about their stuff.
He was more in touch with a lot of people, actually, from sort of all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
He last spring he gave a lecture to a graduate seminar at Oregon State. He recently spoke to the Oregon Geological Society.
Mm-hmm.
He subscribed. I mean, his favorite bedtime reading was these
esoteric
papers on basalt extrusions. Or
he has
whatever.
An amazing rock collection.
Oh, okay.
Boy, does he! Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. All right. Now, Prudence, you met him at the Portland Art Museum.
Yep.
Yes? Okay.
Yep.
So I want to hear just a little bit about what it was like working with him and, you know, war stories or whatever from the museum. And, like, I mean, you can make it personal or professional, however, but I just kind of like to hear a little bit about that.
Okay. I'll tell you just a little bit.
Okay.
I moved out here and became a docent at the museum. That's how I started at the museum. I have a very circuitous path. But in any event, I was in a docent lecture in 1985, and Terry was talking about some little show that was up. And this was my first introduction to Terry. I was sitting in the audience, and I thought, boy, that guy's really interesting. He is so out there. And the two women, that there were sort of two older docents sitting next to me, and they were saying, what is he talking about? This is the weirdest talk I've ever heard. And I thought, yes,
uh-huh.
that's exactly right.
Yes. He had an interesting way of tying stuff together.
Yes.
Within one paragraph, it went all over the
place. All over the place,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that was one of Terry's charms.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then we shared an office. And And that's all I'm going to say.
Oh,
you shared home.
Well, okay, but let's just talk a little bit about what he did for the museum, all right? Because I read this, you know, I mean, tell me if this is true, mm-hmm. that our museum is one of the few, at least on the West Coast, that has a permanent exhibition of photography, that has an ongoing permanent exhibition of photography. Is that true? In other words, there are museums that don't always have a room that is showing photos, okay? And that is something that he made sure happen. Am I crazy?
I'm not
wrong?
Sure about that, but I know that when he was really the first photo curator.
Okay.
And he inherited
Early on. Okay.
And he inherited a tiny little collection. And mm-hmm. Terry turned out to be incredibly persuasive about getting things for the collection
mm-hmm.
because he believed so strongly in... having public access.
Without budget.
Right, without any budget, yeah.
He built an enormous photography collection at the Portland Art Museum with virtually no money by getting people to donate prints and putting mm-hmm. together a photo council that mm-hmm. would help with acquisitions and so forth. And it was really through his sheer force of his personality and his love for this stuff. I mean, his love was absolute for photography and for particular photographs and for photographers was just completely infectious, I would say. And so he you know, assembled the photo council. And I think a lot of those people were there. I mean, they might have started out knowing more or less about photography, but they were certainly brought into it by his personality and his charm and his love for the medium. And it was just infectious.
I don't know how familiar you are with the actual collection, but what do you think we've got here, thanks to him, that's maybe unique to the Portland Art Museum collection?
Well, he was always interested in, he always felt, I think, and Wild Beauty is certainly a testament to this, that the photography of this region was underknown and underappreciated,
mm-hmm.
that there had been some extraordinary people working here. And so he certainly focused on that. I mean, I think if you go to Wild Beauty and you see, for instance, the Lily White and Sarah Ladd photographs, which he... persuaded the museum to acquire. They are, those are two examples of artists whose work he helped to
put out there.
Yes. And they got into the last edition of Naomi Rosenblum's History of Women Photographers, things like that. And then also just simply being really savvy about getting, again, with no budget, trying to create sort of more of a national collection as well as some international works. But he was not interested in, you know, having something because it had a big name attached to it. He wasn't interested in, you know, replicating a cookie cutter collection of, you know, the top 10 whatever.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he was always happy if those things came in.
He wouldn't exclude because of the name, but it wouldn't be the reason.
Right, exactly, exactly.
Mm-hmm. What did he think about how big photography is now and how big photography, big color digital prints are? Like, I mean, I know that's something that probably only he could answer, but what was his feeling about the way how photography was now? How it had developed? Was he interested in all new processes and all new?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Really
oh,
curious.
Yes. And that's, you know, because I think I'm not a photo historian, but where photography and sort of contemporary art intersect makes that, you know, sort of a, I'm not being articulate here.
In any event, it
was sort of Bruce Gunther and Terry in regards to these large sort of work that's often more perhaps described as photo-based. I mean, it uses photography, but it uses it as a tool to express something else or to be something else. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Okay, just want to remind the listener that you are listening to KBOO Portland, and you're listening to Art Focus, and we are hosting a tribute to Terry Totemeier today. I have with me Prudence Roberts, Jane Beebe, and John Larson. And there is an exhibition that's up right now at the Portland Art Museum called Wild Beauty, which also has an accompanying book. We've been talking about the building of the collection of photography in the Portland Art Museum, and so I would imagine that this is in some way, somehow, the story of building that collection is also in this book, Wild Beauty, somewhere. Am I right or wrong?
You're wrong.
Okay.
But, the book,
Tell me how.
Just correct you a little bit, because it's an easy misperception to have.
Uh-huh.
It's actually a book and an accompanying exhibition. The
right.
book was a project that Terry and I began 6 years ago, and actually it had its genesis probably a dozen years earlier when we first met. And we met working on a different book, a book in 1995, and we instantly became friends.
What was that book?
It's called Heritage Lost, and it was I'd rather not get diverted into that. But suffice it to say that I had been hired to design this book, and I was looking for the earliest generation of some photographs. And I went across the street from the Historical Society, who was my client, to the Portland Art Museum, and introduced myself to Terry. And unlike many curators who might have said, you know, please make an appointment, come back some other, you know, he said, oh, I think I know about those photographs. And then we spent, you know, 2 hours together and went back into the vault of the Portland Art Museum and found these minor white negatives that had been in the vault of the Portland Art Museum for 50 years. And Terry knew right where they were. And we went on to sort of change the direction of this book, much to the author's dismay, initially, and ultimate satisfaction. And then Terry and I became friends. And we kept, every time we would get together, we would talk about other projects that we might do together. We really enjoyed working together, and we wanted to collaborate together. And we talked about an enormous different number of books that we could do. I mean, every time we got together, there would be another idea
books.
Of a book. Oh,
yeah.
We could do a book about Lily White and Sarah Ladd. We could do a book about... And we finally realized that there were so many books that we could do together that we'd actually have to... that we wanted to do a lot of them, and we'd have to form an organization to do that because no for-profit publisher would ever make the kind of books that we wanted to make. They wouldn't be able to see where the market was. Mm-hmm. So we formed a nonprofit organization, the Northwest Photography Archive, and that took us, you know, it took years. It takes a long time to build a nonprofit organization, but we created a nonprofit. We raised the money. And we were working on Wild Beauty 6 years ago. We chose that as the first book that we would make because Terry loved the gorge so much and had so much knowledge of the gorge. And when we began that project, we had no expectation that there would be an exhibition at the Portland Art Museum. There was, at that time, the director, the then director, had no interest in this kind of exhibition. And so we've been working on that book for 6 years. And it was a completely joyful collaboration. I mean, some collaborations happen because people want to do something and then they find another person that can work on that with them. This collaboration grew really out of our friendship, and it only deepened our friendship as we were working on it. And you know, Prince and I had this running joke in the last 2 years of actually producing Wild Beauty. You know, Prince would call me and say, "Could you send my husband home now?" and it was like, you know, which of us was really married to Terry.
Him,
you know,
well, was there anyone that was more on the images and someone else who was more on the words, or was it together?
Terry's knowledge was both wide and deep, and when it comes to photography of the gorge, it was exceptionally wide and exceptionally deep. I mean, he knew an enormous amount, and sometimes a person that knows an enormous amount
needs
kind of focus, and it needs finding this story.
Yeah, it's a chaos.
You know, yeah. So yeah, you know, right. Terry knew so much, but you know, we made this book so that you would be able to understand the what you needed to know about the photographs, whether you were in the Pacific Northwest where you know the gorge probably, or whether you were in New Jersey where you had, you know, you vaguely knew that the Columbia River Gorge was in Alaska somewhere. So we were trying to make a book for a very wide audience. And
yeah.
In the first geological introduction to the gorge, you know, Terry got lost for a little while in the Grand Coulee. And we started with Terry's knowledge, and then it was really, I've spent decades making books, and so we shaped it together, chose the photographs together, wrote it together. And
well, who was your editor? You just edited each other as well? Was there a final, I mean, I think picking photographs together, I can understand how that happens. Writing a book together, to me, is just kind of an amazing idea.
I agree. Yeah. And it worked really well. Uh-huh. It worked really well.
Because I looked through that book and it's like, well, no, where's the part about Terry? And where's the part? And that doesn't happen.
I was the final editor and I was extremely conscious. There's Terry is definitely in there and I'm definitely in there, but it's one voice. I mean, I did everything that I could to make it be a single voice. And my partner, Michelle Glazer, who teaches creative writing at Portland State, also helped and read it, and Prudence read it. And I mean, we had a lot of people read it. We felt like it's a photography book, but the text is really important because we wanted to give a context for this work that we were presenting.
Well, I also want to, while we're on this book, I mean, I want to talk about a few other things, but... okay, now he's not here. And maybe the future, I'd just like to know, like, what you would like to do with this book, or what that may has changed or is different with him not being here. I'm just curious about the future of this particular project and how things are the same or different, or is that a difficult question?
Maybe more about the next book.
Okay,
and
all right.
The book that Terry really, really wanted to make next was a book of his own photographs.
Mm-hmm.
And John and Jane and a couple of other people and I have already started to talk about what that might look like.
Right,
that was
going to happen, but maybe just not as quickly.
Right.
But now that he's not here, this is a conversation
that is
happening.
Yes.
It's accelerated. Terry and I have built this... the mechanism,
nonprofit.
The infrastructure, if you will, to make books under a nonprofit aegis that are Books of Northwest Photography. And that organization, the Northwest Photography Archive, will go forward. And the next book that we will do is a book of Terry's photographs. And And Poons and I have talked about it quite a bit. I mean, people want to know what they can contribute to, and this is the way that we're going to sort of preserve Ask. Terry's work and put it out there into the world. And it will be a book, you know, Wild Beauty is the largest book that you can manufacture in the state of Oregon. We were absolutely committed to producing it here, and that's what we're going to do with future books, and that's what we're going to do with Terry's book. So it'll be the same size and shape as Wild Beauty, about a foot square, and it and
love
and
the
it
square
will be,
format.
It will be a career retrospective of Terry's work, and our hope is to be able ultimately to have an exhibition that goes with the book again, but
this
you know,
is early,
exhibitions
early
are
days
ephemeral.
To talk
and
about
books
movies.
Are yes. books are permanent, and you know, Wild Beauty. To answer your first question, Wild Beauty will go on. It's been phenomenally successful.
Mm-hmm. And it was. Can I interrupt for a
sure.
second? That it was in the last Friday's edition of the Wall Street Journal
yes,
as an
I
important book.
Their,
can you imagine yes. Terry in the Wall Street Journal?
Yes.
He would be rolling
would
on the floor,
he'd be
laughing,
rolling on the floor, and waving his hands and feet in the air.
just cracks me
so,
up.
So the book has been successful. The exhibition, I think, has been successful.
Has been incredibly successful. Yeah. I was there a couple of weeks ago because I wanted to see M.K. Guth's show, which was in one part of the museum.
Yeah.
All right. And, you know, not for nothing, but you go up to the Northwest Art area of the museum, and it was, like, so quiet there. What can I say? I go downstairs or wherever it was to Wild Beauty. I mean, it was a party. It was a party. There was people. It was noisy. A museum.
It crosses so many lines of interest.
It was fabulous. It was just like, I guess maybe we do like our museums quiet, but it was really,
packed.
And
this
is packed.
Listen to the audio guide. The audio guide is just great. It is so good.
It's just the right length.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, isn't it 25 images, 24 images?
I think that's
or something?
Right. Yeah. It's just a
and
wonderful.
And you get to hear Terry and Lily Pitt and
Jack Mills and Christian Fodenfensel.
And, you know, just when the book is, it's big and it's cost $75 and it's
a bargain.
It's a bargain. It's way underpriced. We're a nonprofit, so we actually lose money on every book that we sell. But that aside,
well, you better. You're a nonprofit,
right? We're really good at nonprofit. So anyway, when the gift shop at the art museum first ordered the book in about 2 weeks before the exhibition opened, and she ordered 100 copies, and I said 100 copies. And she said, well, it's a very expensive book. That's all we'll sell. At this point, the museum has sold something north of 900 copies of Wild Beauty. And
it's a beautiful thing.
It'll be beautiful for many years. That's another thing.
Well, yes.
I think that
It's not the hot thing. It's not the hot
Well,
product.
It is, as it should be.
Yes.
But, you know, I think it would be a wonderful thing to acquire 20 years from now.
Yes.
You know, it's not going to be dated.
Right.
Yeah. We were trying to make a classic, and
you did.
Well, speaking of classics, I just have one question just came through my mind. When maybe this is too early to ask, but this book that's going to be about Terry's work, are there essential images now that you can mention that come to your head? I mean, he did a lot of work, but are there? And that might take you some time to come with that answer, but.
I couldn't list them, but there are also lots of things that I think haven't been seen that are really worth seeing.
Okay.
So certainly his his Minus Tides work, the work that he did in the sea caves on the coast, is
rappel
important
down to these caves to get the photograph. I think it's really important to get across how hard he worked.
Oh my goodness!
You know, and how dedicated he was in all aspects. And how much time and effort it took to get the photographs, the book, the collection that he got.
Yeah, well, and he was really looking forward to getting back to his own work. I mean, we've spent every every free hour on making Wild Beauty for the last 2 years. And
he'll have a show in September.
September, all right.
PDX.
September 2009, we can look forward to that exhibition of Terry's. And we've been talking about Terry Totemeier today. My guests have been Prudence Roberts, Jane Beebe, and John Larson. And I just wanted to say we'll have a couple of weeks off here at Art Focus. I'll be back in January, my first week in January. I hope to have Laura Fritz with me, who has a show at the New American Art Union. And my name is Ava, and thanks a lot for listening to Art Focus.